Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Morning, Key. Morning, Jay.
Hey, what up, big boy?
What's crackin', baby? What's going on this morning, y'all?
Yeah, you know, just looking outside these windows, it looks hot even though it's not hot.
Looks thick.
There's no sun.
Getting hot, though.
At all, but it looks hot. It looks steamy.
Like thunderclouds.
It looks like if you walk a block, you're going to lose 30 pounds. That's what it looks like.
That's how it was in North Carolina. That's how it is in North Carolina. All day. Welcome to summertime in the South.
I mean, it's supposed to get up to 80 and humid today.
For no reason.
Thunderstorm.
Start sweating outside just walking around. Why am I sweating?
I know. I was walking the other day, and I walked like two blocks. And I was like, seriously, this is.
By the other day, do you mean a few hours ago?
Well, that too. But the other day, I really, you know, I walked two blocks, and it was midday.
Walking through construction sites and people
sneezing.
It's just like this thing. You just feel like there's this layer of dirt on
and
you when you walk through
the middle
city.
Of Soho.
Miasma.
Oh, so yeah, I'm right in the middle of.
Imagine Times Square.
It was the weekend.
So on the weekend. Oh, that's why.
It was, you know, but what are you going to do?
See, that weather, though, growing up,
you can't,
in the city, you actually live for that because, you know, you're cold all winter.
It's
throw on
energy.
The shorts and the T-shirt and bounce out the house in the summer. It's hot out, humid.
Hey, it's great energy. There's nothing wrong with it. It's great energy. I like the energy for a few days.
You used to play stickball this time of year. You'd have to, like, find some elementary school that's closed, scale the fence, right? You climb up the fence. It's three stories high. You play stickball for like 3-4 hours in the humidity. Now you're dying, right? So you might have the janitor there be like, yo, could you open the door to let us out? He's like, go out the way you came in. Now you're dead climbing up a three-story fence to get out.
I know walking around, though. They put a lot of pickleball courts in the city.
Yeah, that's
they're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
Sweeping the nation.
Well, pickleball's hot right now. Pickleball tournaments.
I just kept hearing click, 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 and I look like.
Have you guys played pickleball yet?
I have not. Come on, man. You
fake.
I'm not doing anything.
Yeah,
can't see, can't walk.
It's a good workout, man.
Yeah,
it keeps you moving,
play.
Dog.
Yeah. I got a buddy of mine just put one in his backyard, so I fake played.
Were you on the air the day that Jay said he found they were playing pickleball on the street? And was it ping pong or
ping pong?
Ping pong.
Ping pong.
Ping pong.
He looks
way
like
off,
a ping pong.
Well, pickleball, ping pong.
But Jay would.
Same family.
Pinkle.
They were pinkle or pinkle ball.
Ping pong. He would be the guy. Jay could.
I got good hand-eye coordination.
Yeah, good hand-eye coordination.
I love ping pong, man.
Low
center of gravity.
You know, Olympian type ping pong
tall
player.
Tall dude like me, it's too hard.
I see.
You got to be,
see.
You know.
What are you, something that's better for you, what would that be?
Yeah.
Better for me?
So your hand-eye coordination is not on my level. That's what you're saying because of height.
No, it's just that it's
so you're
difficult.
Saying you're at a disadvantage being a taller wide receiver. That's what you're trying to tell me.
No, not at all. No,
so it's hand-eye coordination.
It's that the net, it's low. Being tall like that, you're going to have to – bend down all
but
the time.
Your arms are right there at the table.
Yeah,
it's
no.
a pop.
No, it's hard. It's very, very hard.
Are you play ping pong?
Yes.
Okay.
What do you think I do?
I don't
just
think
golf?
You play, I don't think you don't golf.
Think
you act
golf.
Like you
don't
act
don't
like
golf
that's a,
either.
Yes, I play ping pong. I've been playing ping pong.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mess around every now and then when I'm in a waiting room somewhere and there's a ping pong table.
Yeah, right. Of course.
I told Max the kid a dude came out holding the ping pong.
You're in trouble.
Yeah, when you see that official Olympic grip.
When he holds his hand to the side and it's parallel to the ground, I'm like, what is that?
I told you.
No chance. Nuh-uh.
I went to my friend's birthday party, and he's a ping pong guy. I mean, that's just what he is. And he had his ping pong coach at his birthday party.
Who has a ping pong coach?
this
is some L.A. stuff.
No, this is a
sounds like a Will Ferrell movie, right?
So
ping pong coach.
When I noticed the ping pong coach, I said, well, no wonder you got all the trophies.
Because
the dude
the
was
trophies.
A coach.
What is he in the ping pong league?
Yeah, he's like, he does all these tournaments and stuff like that. Like he really,
wait,
serious.
Too much time on your hands.
Like real ping pong table, not one that we would buy to fold up.
Yeah, the fold out one you stick in the garage.
Real one.
Yeah, it's the real
one. Yeah, the real deal.
Professional length.
So how do you transition from this?
Let's you don't.
See.
You don't.
Damian Lillard. We're going to wait for him to decide his future, but meantime. Are the 76ers going to force Embiid to be the next superstar, presumably after Lillard? We'll see what happens. Asking for a trade in the next year. Nick Friedel, ESPN NBA reporter, was on Get Up and said this about what could happen in Philly if the Sixers don't advance past the second round.
It's not going to be a question about Harden. The question that is bubbling underneath the surface is, what happens with Embiid? If they bring Harden back and they say, all right, Let's try it one more time. We've got Nick Nurse in here. Doc's out. Change of pace, change of voice. And they still get knocked out in the second round. At what point does Joel Embiid stand up and go, you know what, guys? It's just not going to work here. And I can tell you a team right here, right now, that would love nothing more than to package every asset they got to go and land Joel Embiid in the future. And it's the Knicks.
Well, first off, the market similar to Dame would be incredible for a guy like Joel Embiid, even considering some of his injuries in the past. So I know we said the Knicks, but there would be a lot of teams in the market for Joel Embiid. But that poses the real question, though. I mean, how long does the process continue if you are Joel Embiid? And we stated this multiple times on this show for the past 2 years, is if you keep falling short, even though that they've had 450-plus win seasons over the past six seasons, one of those seasons they got to 49, they've been knocking on the door. But there are certain contracts, i.e. in Tobias Harris, that you're seeing Daryl Morey now float to try to see what kind of return compensation he can get in place. Because it feels like with where James Harden is now at his career, James Harden would be best suited having another star-studded player next to him along with Joel Embiid to help Philly get over the hump. I don't think James Harden being the second best player in which he needs to have prolific scoring games, unless Tyrese Maxey is ready to become that player, but now you're asking him to be that guy right away. That puts a lot of pressure on Maxey.
So who's the third guy then, Jay? What type of third guy can they go get that makes sense?
I mean, I wish a guy like Bradley Beal were available.
Well, that's too late then, right?
Pascal Siakam?
Damian Lillard?
Dame, but you're giving up. I mean, you're going to give up a lot on Tyrese Maxey. That it becomes like, are you willing to let go of Tyrese Maxey?
I like Tyrese Maxey a lot.
If you're committing to James Harden to being the assist guy on your team, are you willing to give up Maxey, Tobias Harris, and maybe a pick?
Well, this is the issue right now for Philly, right? They have Harden already on the team, so they can, because the way the CBA works, the way the cap works, they can keep him and just pay him, right? But if you want to replace him, you're basically replacing him with Lillard. Now you're taking away Maxey. So you're better off keeping Maxey and Harden because...
Is that a better fit for Joel Embiid?
You get to have three instead of two.
Yeah, but how long... But you're not... See, you keep going back to what's in the best interest for the franchise long term. Is that having Joel Embiid, Max, or is that not having Joel Embiid?
Well...
Because if you are Joel Embiid, you have to be thinking somewhere in the back of your mind that, hey, I've entrusted my career to management for a long time. Granted, I've gone through injury, but if we can't get over this hump, something has to give. So if you're giving it another year, are you willing to hold on to Maxey? If I'm willing to walk, if I'm Joel Embiid, or are you saying, hey, I'm willing to give up Maxey and some picks for a guy like a Pascal Siakam with a guy like James Harden and myself to win a championship?
I would do what it takes to keep Embiid.
I would too.
Here's what's crazy. Let's go
but
back
then
to
if
the,
you keep hold, it, hold on. Let's go. It still doesn't work. Now what?
Let's go back to the concept of the tanking of the process, right? Mm-hmm. Because earlier I talked about how Brian Colangelo was brought in. The league put pressure because it's not because it wasn't working, but because it was, and they don't want a million copycats tanking tanking season after season. But the real concept of the process was just because you have a draft pick or two in this draft doesn't mean that dude's going to wind up being a transformational player. They got it. They got Embiid. Like, Simmons didn't turn out to be that, but Embiid is that. He is a transformational player. So at this point, he's got to be thinking, okay, fine. The process didn't go exactly as they wanted, but you got me and you got some other stuff. It shouldn't be this difficult to get to, say, a finals at least over the course of a guy's prime. If you have a player like Joel Embiid,
but
they have not handled
it
perfectly.
There's a couple other players in that conference that's like Joel Embiid, though. There's a couple other players.
Yeah, and they've all had turns getting there, except him.
Yeah, but I'm saying he's hit some bad luck along the way, right? I mean, you think about the Toronto situation, you think about his injuries, you think about those sort of things.
Especially that Kawhi shot.
That's what I'm saying. The Hawks, it happens. But I think they've won a lot of games throughout this process. They won a lot of games.
But
man,
the idea of the process is the reason you want a transformational figure like Embiid is because you don't want to hit the second round ceiling. You don't want to keep knocking up, hey, we won a playoff series and got bounced. You have a dude like Embiid that, oh my God, we hit on that in the draft. Now we can get to the conference finals, to the finals. Got to get there. Giannis has been there. Tatum has been there.
But a lot of bad front office decisions, though, Max. A lot of bad front office decisions.
Yeah, that's why we're saying, yeah.
But wasn't the process. It was the decisions when you get, what is it, Markelle Fultz?
Because they didn't trust the process. They got rid of Colangelo. They got rid of Hinkie. Hinkie built up the war chest with the draft picks. They got rid of him, brought in Colangelo, and they wound up with Markelle Fultz.
But they got that number one overall pick because it was a process. So they trusted it to be able to get the number one overall pick.
You have to trust the guy who got you there or else bring in the right guy to now decide to do what to do with it. They brought in a guy who said, you know what? Let's trade up. Forget about Jason Tatum. Let's trade up to grab Markelle Fultz.
Because
that's the whole shooting match. If they draft Tatum, it's a wrap.
But they're looking at the players.
Joel Embiid.
But it's a wrap.
That's what you say now, right? But when you, as you know, Jay, scouting players, understanding players, when you look at whatever Markelle Fultz did at Washington, whatever he was doing in high school, and you look at that, you fall in love with it, you sign off on it early, and then even though Tatum was doing what Tatum was doing, you go, I like him. It's almost like when Magic took Ball, you sit there and you go, it's right there in front of him. He's always at UCLA. He's in LA. It looks a certain way to you. And you say, I want that guy right there because I fall in love.
There are a few inflection points where if you get it wrong, it's gonna kneecap
you.
And that was one of those.
What's every franchise.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a lot of franchises.
Except that let's remember what the process was about. The process was about doing it over a number of years so you get multiple bites at the apple. So because you're not going to get it right every time, you got another shot and another shot. They were like, nope, get rid of Hinkie. It's enough of this. We're going to bring in Colangelo. No more process. He's going to use the capital they've got now.
They have had multiple bites at the apple. They just haven't been able to go to the hump. They have the talent. You can't tell me this team doesn't have the talent.
Right. There's no guarantee the process works. Not a guarantee. I think it would have worked better than this had they stayed the course, but I don't know if the league would have let them.
But you keep saying stay the course. You keep saying stay the course. They stayed the course. That's how they got the picks to begin with.
When you fire Hinkie and bring in Colangelo, it's not staying
so
the course.
So you're saying Hinkie would have been the answer?
Maybe not. I think he'd have been better than Colangelo.
So? Colangelo was,
how so? They still had players.
What's that?
They still had top players.
Because once you have a billion picks, you can't not have some top players. That will happen.
But at some point,
he didn't do it the right way, and so here they are.
At some point, though, Max, the process will end. And you got to start trying to win.
I agree.
You can't just keep taking for the next 10 years.
Your argument is they brought in the wrong guy to do it. I wouldn't disagree with that either. Apparently, Nashville is not happy with Keyshawn Johnson.
What did I do now?
Didn't put Derrick Henry in your top five.
888-SAY-ESPN.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17 ESPN Radio. Rank 'em, Key's top five running backs in the NFL.
Yes, my top five gets me in trouble all the time. Yesterday, Chris Carter went at me on Twitter for picking top five wide receivers, and I missed out on Justin Jefferson, the Minnesota Viking, clearly. But here's the running back list. Number one is Josh Jacobs of the Raiders. Chris McCaffrey is number two. Christian McCaffrey of the Niners. Nick Chubb in Cleveland at three. Your Saquon Barkley at four. The Giants. And number five, Aaron Jones, a guy that Max said should be number six, sits at five. So those are my five. And a guy is missing, I guess, from Nashville or something.
But wait, because you said before Justin Jefferson was missing from your list. So are you saying that was Do you not like, is Justin Jefferson not a top five wide receiver, or did you omit him on purpose?
No, I didn't put him on my list as five.
He said he'd been six.
Okay. He'd been six if I had six.
Okay.
I would put Aaron Jones. I'd have Aaron Jones be six on my list.
It's fine. It's
and
not
who
that
would be five?
Austin Eckler.
It's not that he's not good.
1,600 yards from scrimmage plus and 18 touchdowns.
I don't think anybody's got him in the top five running backs. But that's
okay. Well, I do.
Justin Jefferson clearly could beat at five, but Jamar Chase, you know, Tyreek Hill, A.J. Brown, Stephon Diggs. Okay. I mean, somebody's got to come off.
Okay, that's all
right. Somebody's always going to get mad when you're not on the list.
Yesterday is yesterday. So
and today's today.
Okay.
But and like tomorrow Max, will be tomorrow.
So you have Eckler at number five?
Correct.
So who's your top five?
Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey. Who do I have three? Nick Chubb. And then Josh Jacobs. And then Austin Eckler. And then Aaron Jones.
And Derrick Henry's – look, Derrick Henry is the bell cow of the Tennessee Titans, no question about it. They did try and trade him this offseason.
If this was 3 years ago, Derrick Henry would be number one on my list.
And so when you look at it, for me, every back on here is a dual-purpose back for me. Mm-hmm. And I like dual-purpose backs.
Okay.
I like guys that can catch the ball out of the backfield. You know, I played with a guy like Curtis Martin, can catch the ball out of the backfield and run between the tackles on the perimeter. I played with a guy like Warwick Dunn, could do some of the same things. So it's all about what you like as far as I'm concerned. No one's saying that Derrick Henry isn't prolific, that he's one of the top backs in the league. Yes, he is. But he's not where he was once upon a time for me. So fans are going to always get mad, Jay. You know how this goes.
Define once upon a time. Like 2 years ago?
2 to 3 years ago.
So like last year because he had a somewhat down year even though he still had 15 touchdowns and still was a bell cow.
But when you have the kind of load that he's carried for 3-4 years in a row, that kind of load, and then you start to have a down year and you're not catching passes, there's a reason that teams move on from guys
The
history of the position is just brutal.
Think about Zeke 3 years, 4 years ago, whatever it was. He was probably top two back in the league.
I know, man. I still think Derrick Henry's a top five back in the league.
So where would you have him?
I'm not doing a ranking. I'm just saying
that 2 seconds ago.
All you had to say was I'm not doing a ranking.
But then I had the decency to do a ranking on the spot.
Let me ask you, Jay. Who do you replace off my list to add Derrick Henry? Do you replace Aaron Jones, Saquon Barkley, Nick Chubb, dual back in Christian McCaffrey?
I would probably.
Josh Jacobs, who led the league. Like, who do you replace?
You see, I think there's no doubt that Barkley is one of the top talents in the league. I need to see more than a year
of health.
Of health.
No, he's had about 2 healthy years in his career.
I want to see two healthy years in a row.
If I wasn't a Giants fan,
I get the talent of it, though.
Who's the best running back in the world?
Best running back in the league?
Best running back.
I would probably say Nick Chubb right now.
Okay, Nick Chubb doesn't exist. Who's the best running back in the league? I'm getting Jay's list.
Come on, man. You don't have all day.
There's no such thing as Nick Chubb. Who's the best running back in the world?
It's hard for me not to say Derrick Henry.
Oh, you got Derrick Henry, too. I see.
It's hard for me not to say he's not in the conversation.
Over McCaffrey?
He's right there. I mean, I think McCaffrey definitely has more tools.
Even Henry at his best, you could argue McCaffrey because McCaffrey is doing stupid things in the passing game and the running game.
Nick Chubb does stupid things, and he's splitting time with Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, no, Nick Chubb. That's why. Nick Chubb is that dude.
You know, you can put him.
By the way,
I can put Nick Chubb at one. I can put Josh Jacobs at two. I can put Christian McCaffrey at three. Nobody's ever going to be satisfied.
Yeah.
That's just the reality of it. But if I got five running backs and I got a board and somebody comes off the board and I got four guys, I'm happy with the other four.
No, who's not satisfied now? Nashville's not satisfied.
What the hell you want me to do? Nashville's never going
to
be satisfied.
I don't want you to do anything. I want you to stay right where you are and have Nashville.
That's just what it is.
Angry.
They're going to be mad at me whether I say it or not.
Mordecai.
What do I know about, like the guy called? What do I know about quarterbacks? The guy yesterday.
Yeah.
What do I know about quarterbacks? That's right. I only played with 100 of them, but what do I know?
You probably know more about quarterbacks today. No one's caught more passes from different quarterbacks than Key. Mordecai and Raleigh, you're on KJM, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, hey, guys. I was having a good morning until I heard about that list. This is an outrage. Jay Will got to be number one on that list. He's got to be number one on the list. And Key laid it out. So I don't have to lay out what Key laid out. But let me just say this. Jay Will technically sound like John Stockton. He had a handle like Allen Iverson. He could pass the ball like Magic Johnson. He could shoot the ball when he needed to shoot the ball like Ray Allen. If he's not number one on that list, then it's an absolute outrage.
Jay, do you think you should be number one?
I'm letting you guys determine.
No, I just want to know. Do you think you should be number one?
You guys know how competitive I am. I'm crazy.
Do
I'm
you
psychotic.
Think it's a yes or damn no?
I'm not
do
answering
think,
the question. I'll let you guys
I would take him second overall.
If I'm pissed about being the second pick in a draft, you don't
Why
think
don't you
I,
just answer the question?
I did answer
Jay,
the question.
Jay, you're more accomplished than the it's other people yes on the no. list ahead of you.
Yeah,
you're more accomplished.
I also played for 3 years.
If y'all
Well,
mean,
that's their problem.
I understand.
If y'all mean, was it 7-9 or whatever he is, you should have been the number one pick, right?
Yes.
Okay. So he answered the question. He should be number one on the list.
He said you're a combination of John Stockton, Ray Allen, Magic Johnson, and Allen Iverson. It's pretty good.
He passed the ball extremely well. He shot it well.
Mm-hmm. Fundamentals.
Fundamentals. And who else?
And the handles.
And he was a hot dog. Okay.
Hot dog.
He was a hot dog.
He calls guards 6'3 and under hot dogs. You got any kind of pizzazz with the rock, they're hot dog.
When you scoring prolific like that and the rest of your teammates aren't scoring and you're winning two championship and two National Player of the Year trophies, that means you're hot dogging. So you're not playing team basketball.
So I'm a hot dog. An NBA champion is a potato. Mm-hmm. What else do we have?
Making a meal.
This is a meal. Hot dogs, potatoes, and what else?
You wouldn't really be a hot dog because be more of a Vienna sausage.
Like a pig in a blanket? Is that what you're saying? You're calling Jay a pig in a blanket?
I might surprise you.
So, anyway, Max.
How are you going to say the dumb joke and then get awkward?
Dak Prescott's future in Dallas. Does it hinge on this season? KJM.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max were presented by Progressive Insurance and joined now. Sal, pal, I'm sorry that I intro you this way every time, but I really think it's one of the best sports books I've ever read. And particularly in this country where NFL is king, I don't think a football fan has a full understanding of the game and the history of the game and what it means and where it came from and why it's so popular unless they read your book, How Football Explains America. Who was it who wrote How Soccer Explains the World? Because that was an answer to that, right? Your book was an answer to How Soccer Explains the World?
Franklin Fuhr.
An academic. And I
very
I
academic just, book, but a good book.
A good book, but yours is, by the way, everyone, it's a short book. It's a very enjoyable. It's a page turner. Great Christmas gift for any sports
I
fan
love
on
this.
Your lift.
Key, how but, great is this?
But I got to tell you, if you're Sal Pal, I know you're from TV and writing and all that stuff, but when someone authors a book that you feel is an important book for a sports fan to read, there aren't that many of them to me. Yours is one of them. Anyway, Sal Pal is with us.
You know,
right
the
now.
Four favorite words in an author's life is not, I read your book. It's, I bought your book.
I bought your book and I read your book. Yeah, that's it. We'll see. I got it Christmas, you know, whatever. DeAndre Hopkins is going to end up in New England?
I believe so. There's mutual interest, Max. Bill likes him. Bill Belichick likes DeAndre Hopkins, likes his game. And DeAndre Hopkins likes the situation in New England, knows Bill O'Brien. It's a perfect fit at a time when they need a wide receiver who can get separation. They need somebody like that. But you got to remember, and I'm talking to Keyshawn Johnson here, and he knows it. when you go to New England, you're going to the Navy SEALs. You're going to a different kind of culture. And DeAndre Hopkins has to understand that when he goes there, he's going to have to fit in. They're going to make sure that he fits in, but he's going to have to fit in there to what they do. And I think Carolina's lurking, Cleveland is lurking for sure. But if I'm DeAndre Hopkins, do I want to go to Carolina with a rookie wide receiver? Do I want to go to Cleveland or do I want to go to New England where I can be coached by Bill Belichick?
I might take Cleveland, actually, given the quarterback.
Yeah, and the relationship. But as Sal said, it's like the Navy SEALs. But the great thing about that is he's had a taste of it in Houston already. So he kind of knows with Bill O'Brien what the situation is.
Didn't end well, though.
Well, yeah, but they, you know, time heals everything. Hell, me and Sal, during my career, I couldn't stand him. Mm-hmm. But we're the best of friends.
What happened during your career?
Well, it doesn't matter, Max. But
no, don't worry about the details, Max.
Yeah, don't worry about
just
the details.
Sal asks the tough questions. That was the problem.
It was just one of those deals where it's like, okay, I get it. I'm young. I get it now. I know what this is. But over time.
That happens to a lot of people with me, Max. So. Not unusual, but.
Well, if you ask the questions the people want to hear.
You won't have your job for very long, right? Exactly. But Key is right. And listen, the Patriots are trying to be relevant in the division. Right now they're the fourth team in the division. You bring in DeAndre Hopkins, and he is going to transform them into sort of a buzz right away in the AFC East.
Are the Giants going to get the Saquon Barkley deal done obviously at some point, but when is that some point?
Well, they'll have him in at some point during training camp. He's not going to do a whole heck of a, you know, experienced veteran running backs don't do a lot during training camp. We won't see him very much on the field during preseason. Just like you, Key, you don't go out there for them preseason games very much.
Nah. I tried not to except the one year that I went back.
And he doesn't need the work, you know, so he'll get in there. Listen, the Giants are not going anywhere without Saquon Barkley. Daniel Jones wants him. They're good friends. Brian Daboll knows what he brings. The offensive line is going to be different. Max, you know the team. The offensive line is going to be different.
Better, you'd think.
But the bottom line is, in the NFL now, the passing game opens up the running game more than the running game opens up the passing game, without a doubt. So, and you look at Green Bay, you know, Green Bay, they lose Aaron Rodgers, and now all of a sudden they're talking about, well, we've got two good running backs. Well, now, okay, all right. You start bringing the safeties down in. You start bringing people in the box. You need a quarterback that's going to open things up for the running game, and that's what Daniel Jones is going to be able to do with a redesigned offense.
I think Barkley has a chance to have, if he can stay healthy, which he hasn't done often, but he did it recently. He has a chance to have his best season because as a rookie, he had 2,000 yards from scrimmage, 15 TDs, then got hurt a lot. And then last year was really good, but the production wasn't the same in the second half. Partly because their line was no good, they didn't have receivers, everyone knew what was coming. Now all of a sudden you got a plug-and-play center out of the draft, Evan Neal in his second season at right tackle. You got some receivers who can get separation. He might have a huge year, Sal.
But Max, the difference with the Giants last year was Daniel Jones did not turn the football over because Saquon took the pressure a little bit off of Daniel Jones. And also, if you remember, early in the year, Daniel Jones throws an interception inside the 5-yard line. Jones comes off the field. And, you know, if that happened in the past, okay, we're good. This time, Brian Daboll gets in his face mask, grabs him by the shoulder pads, and says, we are not going to have that. That's not going to go on here. And as a result, if you look at the Giants, they had the fewest turnovers at the quarterback position of any team in the league last year, and it was all because of the coaching and points of emphasis of Brian Daboll and the presence of Saquon Barkley on that team. They know how he helps Daniel Jones.
He talks about the Bill Parcells 10 quarterback commandments and like throwing the ball away is a good play,
always.
Right?
Like,
yes.
Don't hurt yourself. That's rule number one.
Put it in the 10th row.
Right.
There's no need to try to be a hero in these situations. Talk about turnovers. How important is it this year for Dak Prescott and his future, for him to have a good year?
Well, you know Mike McCarthy very well, and he stresses fundamentals on offense. We are going to protect the quarterback. We're going to have balance on offense. He's pared the offense down a little bit, taking about 30 to 35% of them. They were very good in the red zone. very good on third down, but key, you can't have those turnovers.
No.
They scored and doubled it over 25 points a game last year, 12 points against San Francisco in that last playoff game, and had two turnovers. It's very important that they stress he doesn't. He's got to protect the ball. He's got to protect himself, stay on the field. Remember, Jalen Hurts and Dak Prescott have never matched up against one another. So it's going to be really interesting to see when they're on the field at the same time whether or not Dak Prescott can do what Jalen Hurts and Daniel Jones did last year, which is protect the football.
You want to be the hero, don't try to be the hero.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's going to be pressure on Dak because Jalen Hurts has taken his place in the conference where Dak was supposed to be at by now, given Rodgers' defection to the AFC, supposed to be Dak's conference. It's Jalen Hurts' conference right now.
Leapfrogged over him.
Yeah.
They have the best roster and the best quarterback in the division.
Yeah.
Are they going to win the division?
And the best line of
scrimmage. Eagles are going to win the division back
to
back.
Going to win the division.
Absolutely.
Again.
Best offensive line, best defensive line.
Even though the Cowboys are so deep on the defensive side of the ball this year, you still think the Eagles win it, huh?
They got to score points against that Eagles defense. The Eagles brush the passer better than anybody in the league right now. Still, I know they got a new defensive coordinator, but Sean Desai coaches just like Vic Fangio, just like Jonathan Gannon, and I think he'll take a little bit more chances with that defense than he did last year. But this defense gets after the quarterback. They knocked out two quarterbacks in the NFC Championship game, Key. Mm-hmm. And you just seen it right there, Hassan Reddick. Man.
They got Stoutland, too, coaching up the O-line. They protect the quarterback. They block for the – they dominate the line of scrimmage. Sal Palantonio, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Sal Pal.
You didn't think I was going to come in here and pick the Giants or the Eagles, or the Cowboys to win the division, did you? Hey, listen, you know, I like my haircut.
Come on, G-Men.
I like my haircut and my lawn mode, all right?
Hey, what other running backs did Key miss? Which team should be on Hard Knocks? The answer to these questions and more coming up, KJM.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Ah, Keyshawn, Keyshawn, Keyshawn.
Oh.
Keyshawn, Keyshawn, Keyshawn. KJM, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You know, yesterday, you had a list of the top five wide receivers.
Yes, that is correct.
We were all like, Key, are you sure you want to do a list? Everyone said, you said, I insist. You know lists are my thing. And you gave us your top five wide receivers, and Chris Carter was very upset because you left the Viking off Justin Jefferson. He would have been number six, but we only went to five.
Wah.
Today, you gave your top five running backs.
Mm-hmm.
Right away, there are people upset at you because no Derrick Henry.
I can't win. No matter what you do, yeah. Max, if you give your top five boxers of all time, no yeah. matter what division.
Guys are going to be left off.
Somebody's going to be left off.
That's
and
right.
Why could you dare?
Where's Floyd Mayweather?
That guy won 29 in a row. What, right. You know, yeah. It's like, okay, whatever. I mean,
right.
That's just the reality of it. Doesn't mean that that particular person that's not on the list because you're a fan of his or you like him or whatever the case is and he doesn't crack the lineup, doesn't mean he's not good.
I also would not have Derrick Henry in the top five as of now because he's had some brutal years where he was incredible but took a pounding, right, and gave one too. And then he was a little bit off last year. And usually when guys are not pass catchers at that position who've had like 2,000 yards a season basically for 3-4 years, they start to decline.
I mean,
Jay
just
says he'd still have Derrick Henry second on the list.
But there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that I'm looking at where football is, the day and age, the carries in his body,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of
I
those
agree.
Sort of things.
Yeah.
And then I look at a guy like Josh Jacobs who led the league. and Christian McCaffrey, who completely changed San Francisco's offense, or Nick Chubb, who split time and is a bell cow, or look at Saquon Barkley. The Giants wouldn't even be close to that. Daniel Jones wouldn't have made nowhere near the money he made
Saquon
Barkley wasn't a part of it.
He could turn a tackle in the backfield into a 25-yard game.
Mm. Yeah, so when I start looking at those sort of things, and I'm saying to myself, okay, how does this fit?
Yep.
Who fits in these situations? Dalvin Cook is not on the team right now, but 3 years ago, Dalvin Cook was in the top five.
Of course.
Alvin Kamara.
Same.
Same thing. I could go on and on and on. Austin Eckler, you love.
I love
that. I think
Eckler,
he's a cool back. I mean, he's a good back. Nothing
one
wrong
one guy everyone agrees on, Nick Chubb. Everyone agrees on Nick Chubb.
Nick Chubb is
I don't know where you have him in your top five, but
it's
he's in the
like,
top
it's
five.
It's just like saying Joe Mixon's not on there. Joe Mixon's a hell of a football player, man.
Yeah.
Joe Mixon.
Speaking
is
of
really
even
good.
Nick Chubb, also Kareem Hunt.
Kareem
That's
Hunt.
A good player, man.
I mean, you could go on and on and on. At
Pollard
positions.
When he's healthy.
Pollard, 3 years, 4 years ago, Zeke Elliott. It happens.
Brees is on his way up, right, when he gets healthy.
Yeah, he could be on his way up. Yeah. He could be on his way
that
up.
That sounds like a no.
The guy played three games. He got hurt.
I was expecting, we're going along. I was expecting, Brees. And instead it was, maybe.
Let me not say three games because I don't want people to literally say he only played three games.
Well, Pat's about to tweet that out.
So, I'm just saying.
Paul in New Orleans has something to say to you, Key. Guess who he thinks you left off?
Alvin Kamara.
Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, how you doing, man?
What's up, man? Why you sound down?
I know you, man.
Why you sound down? Won't you talk with your chest?
Oh, I'm talking with my chest, man. I'm just saying, bro. Down here, we know you, bro. We love you, man. Man, put Alvin on the list.
I can't just put him on the list because if I put him on the list, the first thing people are going to say, well, he's missed time. He's this. New Orleans is not good. How could you? And then you take somebody off the list who should be on the list. That doesn't mean when you talk to me at some point, in September, October,
Kamara stay healthy 8-9 games weeks in a row. Yeah. Talk to Key.
Well, look, this is how it goes. This man was drafted in third round, rookie of the year, 5 Pro Bowls. Come on, man.
I'm not saying.
Ain't no way.
No, see, you.
Ain't no way McCaffrey's supposed to be over this guy.
Yeah. McCaffrey's better than Kamara. On Kamara's best day, McCaffrey's better than Kamara.
No, I ain't going to say that.
Yep.
No,
yep.
I'm not going to. Max,
you're tripping
100%.
Now.
Nope. No, Max, you're tripping.
Nope. Kamara is a slightly lesser version of McCaffrey.
No, boy, you crazy.
Yeah, no.
If both of them was healthy at the same time.
Yeah, McCaffrey.
Oh, no. No.
I like Kamara a lot. I like McCaffrey more.
I'm not going. Now, this is where you and I we'll get into an argument, Max.
I'm going to put
not a disagreement, but an argument.
Go ahead.
If both of them was on the board,
yep,
I'd take either one and be satisfied and happy because they do the same thing.
McCaffrey's a little better, but yeah.
No.
No, man.
You tripping.
Let's look at McCaffrey
first. Come on, man.
I don't know off the top of my head, but let's just look at him.
They just got to stay healthy.
Let's just look at McCaffrey.
They got to stay healthy. If he stays healthy, it's all good. That's just simple and plain. It's all outdoors.
You know, McCaffrey 1 year had, this can't be, almost 2,400 yards from scrimmage. Is this possible?
He probably did have almost 2,400 yards from scrimmage, but he got the ball. They utilized him in Carolina. He was the only offensive threat that they had that year.
Lord.
The only one the year that he got paid. Only guy they had on offense. Only one.
He was doing
everything.
Okay, but a lot of people, you could say that about, but he got 2,400 yards of scrimmage.
Dude, they had crazy weapons in New Orleans. Are you out of your mind?
Yeah, namely him.
No,
McCaffrey.
No. I'm talking about
in New
Orleans.
Oh, you're saying in New Orleans, yeah.
In Carolina, he was the only weapon they had.
Of course there are circumstances that would lead to that. And Kamara, McCaffrey, basically the same thing. I agree. But if you have to take one, you're taking McCaffrey.
They weren't the same thing.
Yeah, because if you have to take one, you're taking McCaffrey. They do the same thing, but McCaffrey has done it a little bit better.
But see, what you got to understand about Max, and I don't think you really have realized this yet.
Who,
Jay?
Me?
Yeah. you haven't realized it. When he loves, he loves. No matter what the case
is. I love Saquon Barkley.
He loves McCaffrey.
No, I love Saquon Barkley.
He would tell you McCaffrey, he could have both hamstrings tore off the bone. He'd tell you, he's going to rush for 100 yards a day. He just That's what he is.
You mispronounced Saquon Barkley. That's how I feel about Barkley. I just got to give it up to McCaffrey. I always thought of him as little like Barkley Jr., but he doesn't put up Barkley Jr. numbers. He puts up Barkley Sr. numbers.
Taking anything away from McCaffrey. But you're saying he's not even close to.
Oh, I didn't say not close.
No, you said not on his best day, Max.
Not his best day. He's not better than Christian McCaffrey. No. His best is a little bit under McCaffrey's best.
Are you crazy?
Yeah. They're very similar, but McCaffrey's a little better.
Are you crazy?
No, why? It's real.
Why?
He does. McCaffrey is at his best.
What the heck do you think he does?
Hold on, Matt. Oh, okay. Let him explain why McCaffrey.
McCaffrey at his best figures out a way to get yards every which way.
Doesn't
you can put
Kamara?
Him anywhere. Not, yes, but not quite at the same level.
But you're still not telling me how, though. You're making general statements.
How would you like me to describe
it? I don't know. You're the
one. It's like two home run hitters. They both hit 40 home runs. This one hits 45. This one hits 42. You take the guy who hits 45.
I'm going to take the guy that gives me the best chance to win is who I'm going to take. If somebody hits 45 and another guy hits 42, how about they pitch away from the guy so he can't get to 45? They walk him. Like, come on, Max. You are not slick. We've caught on to you over the last several years.
He's on a team with a lot of weapons, Christian McCaffrey. Still doing his thing.
What the hell did you think Alvin Kamara was on 3 years ago, years ago?
Okay, let's look at what McCaffrey did
in his games. My nephew set the record for receptions in a National Football League. Mm-hmm. He was the offensive player of the year.
In 10 games started for the San Francisco 49ers, McCaffrey had 1,200 yards from scrimmage in 10 games started. For the 49ers, with weapons all over the field. All over the field. He's on pace for about 2,000 yards from scrimmage with weapons all over the field.
You're going to drive
You just used that argument to say why his numbers were so good, because there weren't. Even when the weapons are on the field, McCaffrey's putting up stupid numbers.
His numbers are going to be good. He has weapons. When he was in Carolina, Max, he had nobody. He's going to have 2,500 yards from scrimmage.
But you're arguing that when he doesn't have weapons, his numbers should be good. Now that he has weapons, his numbers should still be good. They're always good.
That's not what I'm telling you, Max. When he's in Carolina, he's going to have ridiculous numbers because they gave him the football
a lot
of the time, a high percentage.
Sure.
In San Francisco, they utilize him even though they have other weapons. They utilize him.
Why do you think so?
Alvin Kamara has missed time. The team has been in dismal over the last couple years due to injuries. He's had off-the-field issues. He's missed time. When you add all that up, McCaffrey's numbers are still going to be better at that point.
Let me say
this year, when he's healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
And Saquon Barkley is healthy? Call me and let me. I mean, and McCaffrey is healthy?
Let me be very clear. I love Kamara. He's a great player, and he's a lot like Christian McCaffrey. They're versions of the same kind of player. McCaffrey's a little better. That's all.
I can't. See what you go through? You did this to me.
I did it to you. Yes. How did I do it to you?
Give me Advil, please. Paul, I need Advil. I need Advil. My guy Max is killing me.
Well, that's true, but only on the facts.
Oh, God.
888-SAY-ESPN. Does Philly want James Harden back? Do you think they want James Harden back?
Really early tease, Max.
Well, Jay, the thing is...
Really early tease on this one.
Damn it!
He's so consumed.
Are they waiting?
He started to tease. It was like 30
Damn
seconds.
I looked up. I said, "God, I should have done that 10 seconds from now." Hey, is Philly worried about Joel Embiid wanting out? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.